As the oil gushes out, the costs keep going up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico has so far cost BP more than $3 billion. That includes the cost of containing the leak and cleaning up the oil, drilling relief wells, and compensating those affected by the spill. Now, on top of that, there's another embarrassing admission from BP regarding safety at one of its British wells. Let's bring in Marketplace's Stephen Beard, who's with us from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What's this about safety? What's the company confessed to?
That it didn't follow a standard British procedure on the Macondo well. It did not write up a lengthy assessment of the safety issues around the project before it began. This practice became standard in Britain after a major blowout disaster in the North Sea in the 1980s. Shell says that it always produces a so-called safety case when it drills for oil or gas anywhere in the world. BP admits that it hasn't done this on any of its U.S. wells because so far it hasn't been required to do so.
And what's the latest on how this disaster has affected BP, Stephen?
Oh, it's devastated the company. The share price has more than halved. It's now widely thought to be a potential takeover target. In fact, there were various reports here at the weekend that BP is looking for a so-called white knight, a strategic investor, to take a stake to fend off an unwanted bid. Nick McGregor, an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley, says BP should be able to find a white knight.
The real issue is at what price it will attract a strategic investor. As we saw with the banks during the credit crunch, there is money out there, but it comes at a fair price when you're in trouble and your back's against the wall.
So BP may not get much for the stake that it sells. Among the potential predators thought likely to stalk BP, two have been mentioned, ExxonMobil and PetroChina.
All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
And BP shares are actually higher in London right now, up about 3.5%. Let's see how overseas markets are doing. Yeah, European shares are mixed at the moment, less than 0.25% either way. Not much movement for Asian markets as well. Wall Street Friday, the Dow Industrials shed 46 points to close at 96.86. It was a second straight losing week for stocks. Markets were down last week between 5 and 6%. We're now in the final days of the NBA's free agency period. Teams are battling over the hottest crop of players in years. The biggest prize is Cleveland's LeBron James. The New York Knicks told LeBron coming to the Big Apple could mean a billion-dollar career. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich looks at how where you play shapes lifetime pay.
Let's be clear. Superstars like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade will be super rich wherever they play. We're talking the difference between $600 million and $1 billion. That'd be the lifetime bottom line for LeBron between Miami and New York. That's according to computer modeling commissioned by the Knicks. Cleveland and Chicago fell in between. Kevin McIntyre of the Leverage Sports Agency says it's largely about a city's potential for sponsorships and business deals.
You know, the people that you meet socially, he starts to get ingrained into other areas of business outside of just basketball.
Forbes magazine's Stephen Bertone got a hold of the Knicks' detailed PowerPoint for LeBron. Bertone says the size and personal wealth of the fan base factor in. So does desperation.
Their idea is the longer a city has gone without a championship, the more it's worth to that player because he would be, you know, the savior.
One thing not in that PowerPoint, the hometown weather. Because for an extra $400 million, who really cares? I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
From Cape Cod to the wilds of Alaska, the National Park Service is responsible for preserving more than 80 million acres of scenic beauty. And as Gigi Duban reports from the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, the job of park ranger is highly sought after these days.
Take me to the prettiest place in the park. Show me the best waterfall. Those are questions Carrie Jones gets asked dozens of times every day at Great Smoky Mountains National Park. The other question he hears all the time?
How do I get a job here? How do I get a job in environmental education or in the wildlife or helping the environment? Yeah, I hear that a lot. There's a lot more of that than there was, say, 10 years ago, I think.
Jones is a park ranger. He retired, then recently returned as a seasonal employee. As a ranger, he gets paid to hike through the woods, show people where salamanders hide, point out the difference between a black-capped chickadee and a Carolina chickadee. Not a bad gig. Jobs with the National Park Service have always been competitive, but recently the government agency has been flooded with applicants. In the Washington office alone, they're getting four times the number of applications than they did just a few years ago. One of those hopefuls is Jenny Bradbury. Bradbury is 25. She works at a real estate office renting cabins in nearby Gatlinburg. On her days off, she'd volunteer at the park.
It was really fun and rewarding for me. I feel like I learned a lot about the park and did some good networking.
It paid off. Bradbury just landed a job as a forestry technician with the Park Service. She has a degree in wildlife ecology, so for her, spraying plants and treating infested trees is exciting stuff. Her job is seasonal, so she won't have health insurance, and it pays just $15 an hour, but she says it's worth it.
You can make a difference, and it's nice to be outside and hike. I'm sure it'll be a lot of hard work, but probably rewarding work.
And for young people, rewarding work is what it's about, says Ryan Paw. He's co-founder of BrazenCareerist.com.
They want a work life that sort of enhances their personal life, and they're willing to take a lower salary because of that.
For Jones and Bradbury, 6 months of seasonal work is still work. And when that's up, they'll both be competing for another stint with the Park Service. In the Great Smoky Mountains, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, earlier this year, Chad Etmuller walked into a Georgia sandwich shop, ordered a double five-meat special with cheese. When he tried to eat it, his jaw temporarily locked up. Instead of suing, AOL reports he went back to the store and asked for a free sandwich to replace the one he couldn't eat. The chain restaurant called Witch Witch gave him the sandwich and then renamed it the Lockjaw. Now, the company says because of the notoriety from the incident, it's expanding its presence in Georgia. Etmuller says he may open his own franchise, and now he has plans to attend the company's annual convention in Dallas. Not bad for biting off more than you can chew. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Check us out online at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.